You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Don't miss your free chance to tune into Benzinga's very own bootcamp series on November 20th. If you're looking to dive into new concepts and grow your account, this one's for you.
Coming to you live from downtown Detroit, this is Benzinga's Pre-Market Prep.
All right, good morning. Let's bring on Joel. Good morning, Joel. Let's bring on Dennis. Good morning, Dennis. Good morning, everybody. We got a lot going on today. We're going to talk about rotation. Why is the stock market down? We can't agree on anything. We got some earnings to discuss. We have Sean Udall joining the show to talk tech stocks at 8:35. We got to hit the like button. We got to go to the charts. Joel, just tell us what's up, and then we can get to the arguing.
Oh, well, can you geniuses give us all the information? Spoos are down 13 handles at 88.50. We were flying high this morning at 4 o'clock. We hit 47.23.50, and then whoosh, they flushed it down the toilet. Pre-market low, 84.25. We're just hanging out near the lows of the session. Big numbers underneath, 67 and 68. That's your low on Monday. That's your low on Thursday. So I'm going to keep this bullish hat on until we breach and close below 46.67. Crude getting walloped down 270 at 75.70. Gold flat at 1861.90. Silver loses 25, down 16 cents at 24.74. Bitcoin. We kissed that 55. Maybe we're going to head towards 50, down 11.95 at 56.820. And Ethereum is going the other way by almost 2%, up 75.75 at 41.42 in a quarter. So let's bring in Triple D and let the debates begin.
The debate about the rotation, Joel, and what we are seeing. Okay. Joel, you start. Give us your theory on why we are seeing the rotation we are seeing today. And by what we mean by that rotation is oil is down, banks are down, TLT is ripping, cyclicals are down, basically everything except tech. Tech ripping higher. So clear rotation today. The tech safety trade is on.
And what's that reminiscent of?
Spoiler alert, we already know the answer, but give us, it's reminiscent of a year and a half ago.
Yep, that's what I think. I think now, I know Spencer, I know already know what your argument's going to be.
What's the headline?
Well, all right, go ahead, Spencer.
The headline is that Austria has gone into a lockdown, and that's what Joel's going to say. Joel's going to say, yeah, because Joel's going to look at the charts, and I'll bring the charts back up here, and Joel's going to say, look at the top left chart, and look at when we started going down, and look at what time the news came out of Austria that they're going back into a lockdown, and they coincide, right? The timing of the announcement, the chart, that makes sense. What I'm going to say to Joel is this is actually Austria's fourth lockdown, right? There's obviously a couple lockdowns last year. There was also a lockdown in December that extended into, I believe, into January. And I'm just not sure how much the market really cares about Austria.
Okay, what about Germany? What about Germany?
They definitely have some push up in COVID numbers. We know Europe's, but the thing is, which would put a hole in your thesis, is we've known about this for the last few weeks. We've known that, you know, Europe, it's been ticking higher. The case numbers have been ticking higher over in Europe for not just suddenly overnight here because Austria took measures. It's been ticking up for weeks here now, and the market's been ignoring it. So is this the wake-up call? Are we now going back into the COVID trade? Or is this just a little blip and, you know, just another excuse to buy tech stocks?
Okay, well, let's look at the American Airlines chart. Okay, 22.25, 19. Let's look at Royal Caribbean.
The evidence here is building in your favor.
Caribbean, what else do we want to do for, CCL 25 to 20. That's a nice little haircut. Maybe
don't
we
even
just
look
have
at the casinos, man. We just haven't been paying attention. And is sports betting over? Is it officially like just done? Like nobody's going to bet on sports anymore because
they don't have any money left. I'm telling.
DKNG goes down every day. Penn Gaming goes down every day. I mean, we are in this slow bleed out for so many stocks. We're in this raging bull market in tech stocks. We're in this raging bull market in retail stocks. And we're in this slow death march in a lot of other names, too. Look at these charts, Joel. So Peloton, the slow bleed out, getting a little pop today because your COVID trade's coming back on. I mean, Roku, obviously a tech stock. But once you disappoint, so I shouldn't even say, don't even break it up by sectors. Companies that have done anything, said anything fundamental to disappoint the street, whether that be in the case of, you know, like Peloton or in the case of ZG, so we could go and look at Zillow. Those are missed earnings. But even in the case of, let's say, like a Penn Gaming, which got Portnoy, that continues to go down. In the case of General Electric, which did the fancy financial engineering, then they decided they didn't like it. It goes down every day. It's down like 8 days in a row. I mean, this is the market that if you disappoint the street, you are not forgiven unless you're a stock that's loved. So some of the stocks that are loved can disappoint. So stocks that are in uptrends, you buy the dip. Stocks that are in downtrends, don't even think about buying the dip because they continue to bleed. This is why yesterday, I know I'm going on a tangent. This is why I sold my Alibaba yesterday after like 5 years. 5 years of holding Alibaba. Watched it go from 150 to 300. Sold half of it at 235 and everybody said, don't sell. Wish I would have sold it all. Didn't sell it all. Sold it all yesterday because I don't want the bleed out in my Alibaba here either. So it's not even like all tech stocks are rallying. It's selective tech stocks. So what are your thoughts here? I mean, I just took us everywhere.
You did. I know. I don't even have, like, I'm so, I need a break after this. I mean, can we go to a commercial?
You want to go back to the COVID stocks, though? Do you think the COVID trade, are you telling me the COVID trade's already been on? We just haven't noticing it?
I think so. Oh, wait, hold on. How's Pfizer doing?
The drug stocks are hot. It adds to your theory here, Joel. The evidence does point that this market is prepping itself for another wave of COVID.
Did you guys hold on? Joel, pull Moderna right now. Okay. Moderna right now. The FDA just gave them authorization for their booster for adults just now.
Okay. I mean, things always get overblown in both directions here. I've been up since about 4:30 with Perry. Perry's not, you know, has to go out a lot and stuff. So I've been observing all this stuff. I've been looking at the charts. I looked at the market at 3:45, and we're trading up, you know, 21 handles at a new all-time high. And then I see a flush like we see, and I don't, you know, I mean, I don't know. I don't see anything coming out of China. Did we get China'd at all? Did that kind of happen yesterday with Alibaba?
I don't know. Does China ever even rally? Like every time you rally, you get met with sellers there too.
Well, I just meant like more bad news out of there, you know, like more, you know, something like an Alibaba or whatever. But you know what? It's a market, right? Markets go up and down. This is a, you know, an unusual move overnight. And if we stay true to form, the buy the dippers will come in, will support this market, and we'll make a new all-time closing high above 47.25. That's
because they'll buy those tech stocks. The same, you know, that's the whole thing is this market has proven even during a pandemic that it doesn't want to sell off. The rotation just comes to save the day. Like today, and the rotation is very, very, very clear. I mean, today you're looking at oils getting hit pretty hard. You know, you got a lot of oil stocks down 2-3%. You got airlines, which typically rally in oil, but because Joel's thesis here is holding water, I believe he's right, actually. The airlines are all getting hit. You've got Banks. TLT is rip-roaring higher, which is a safety trade as well, which could be something to do with, you know, people worrying about COVID again. Banks coming down heavily here off of TLT's rise. We know there's a perfect inverse correlation there. And then you have, what is this green on my screen? I'm like, look, and cyclicals are down. Basically, everything's down. But what's green? It's the tech stocks. The tech stocks and some of the drugs, like you said, some of the drugs. Tech, just people just lie to safety, and they believe the safety's tech, and they believe they're always going to win in tech no matter what. And who are we to say it's wrong? I mean, it has worked. It worked through the whole pandemic to be in those tech stocks. So, I don't know. It's crowded. That's the only thing downside with it. It's a very crowded trade.
We just got to just give an alert here to OK Chaz, as he says that you sold Baba at the low. That's what everyone
I sold
told
Baba at the low?
Yeah, because the second piece that you sold yesterday.
Oh, maybe. Well, not
but,
really.
But everyone told you that at 220. Twice. Everyone told you that at 220 that you sold the low.
Yeah, I sold 230. Okay, so my long-term Baba story, I bought Baba 5 years ago, 151. It went to over $300. It got the Ant Financial was the start of the thing.
I wish
I had a bad feeling
that
I didn't want to pay the tax. And, you know, you're trying to figure it out, which we're going to talk about a story on MasterCard with that in a minute. But obviously, you know, it came back down. I ended up selling half it because I didn't know where Jack Ma was and I was worried about it. Sold half it at 230. And then I considered selling it all, but I never did. Came all the way back down to 140, rallied up to 180, and now it disappoints. And what we have seen in this earnings season is when you disappoint and you're a stock in a downtrend, they don't bounce back. They don't bounce back quickly. So the evidence shows to me that Alibaba's path of least resistance is likely lower. And I'm like, okay, so I sold it yesterday at the open. I think I sold 147.90, I think was my price. So I basically, you know, from a swing long-term investing perspective, buy 151, sell 147.90. It's basically a scratch. You know, you lose 1%. So sucks, hold for 5 years. I did make, obviously, 50% on the one half. And then the other half, I made nothing. But I'm like, I don't want to make this trade turn into a big loser because I don't know what's turning Alibaba around. Now the fundamentals, now they're starting
bad.
To miss earnings and stuff, and they're already hated by China, apparently. I don't know what turns it around. I don't want to be holding the stock that's completely out of favor. Maybe we go into a laggard market and we'll get back in. But at this time, right now, the evidence has shown that when you disappoint the street during this earnings season, they continue to punish you. And that's why I don't want to be long Alibaba, because I don't want it to pull a Disney. I don't want it to pull a Penn Gaming. I don't want to pull out a Zillow is maybe the best example because they disappoint. It just goes down every single day. There are stocks that are literally just going down every day, no matter what the market does. It's relentless selling. Cramer talked about this last night too. He hit the nail on the head. He's like, here's, you know, the story on, you know, institutional traders, you know, and he used Disney as an example. He's like, okay, well, the Disney Plus story has cooled off. Well, this Momo traders are in there for the Disney Plus story. They're getting out. But when you're an institutional money manager, you got like 25, 30 million shares. That's what Cramer is saying. You don't get out one blow. Sometimes it takes you days to work out of those positions. So you have multiple institutions that are working out. Everybody wants to chase performance. Everybody wants to chase the story. There's very few value investors left. And the big thing about value investors, the ones that are in there are probably just holding on. But it's the active money. This is what people don't understand. Value investors are sitting there holding on. They're not market movers. They're not even doing anything. It's the active money management that moves price. Your active money managers are all chasing performance, all chasing growth. And that's why, you know, value investing has been dead for so long. It's that move that, hey, there's just not a lot of value investors doing anything. So it's active money managers that are moving the entire market. And all the active money managers are Momo traders. So when the moving average gets cut, when the momentum breaks, when the trend breaks, those things stay out of favor for a very long time.
You know, speaking of moving averages, we always talk about this narrative that, oh, it's the same six stocks are keeping the whole market higher. I was very surprised this morning. I looked at the S&P 500. I looked at number of stocks trading above or below their 50-day moving average and their 200-day moving average. And I was very surprised to find that, surprisingly, a majority of stocks in the S&P 500 are trading above their 50-day and their 200-day. It sort of counteracts the narrative that, yes, blame Apple, Facebook, Microsoft, Tesla, Google, and Amazon for why the stock market has not gone down, really. But it's really not that, because, like I said, a majority of stocks are actually in up now. The ones that aren't in uptrends are getting brutalized here, but there is some decent breath out there.
It's the tale of two markets. There are stocks getting killed every single day, and there are stocks with a relentless bid every single day. I mean, look at Dillard's. And not that it's part of the market at all, but retail.
We talk about look at retail.
Look at Macy's. Yeah. I mean, Macy's has doubled in basically 2 months from like $18, 3 months from $18 to $38. I mean, it's doubled. This is, you know, so there, this is the tale of two markets. There are stocks that are just relentless selling, in which we just went through them all, like Peloton, PayPal, Roku, General Electric, Disney, Penn Gaming. They go down every single day. And then there's other stocks that just seem to have a relentless bid that go up every single day. So just as much as 2021, when we talked back in the summer, was a contrarian market where you were fading, this is not that you're not in Kansas anymore. The market has changed. You as traders need to be able to identify when the market has changed. We have moved back into a momentum market where if your momentum is down, those trends stay down. When the momentum is up, those trends seem to stay up. When they break trend, they get ugly in a hurry, though. So you got to make sure. Take your Jeff Mackey. Jeff Mackey, shout out again. Purple crayon. Draw your line. When that line breaks trend, get the hell out. Because you know what? They get ugly in a hurry because there's so many momentum players that all get out at the same damn time. It's breaking trend. So it's almost self-fulfilling. Everybody's doing the same thing. And that's why these moves sustain for so long. And that's why when they break trend, they get so ugly in a hurry.
And just going back to your point about, you know, the institutions and the big boys, like when this Disney news came out, I mean, I looked at this thing and it broke trend. I mean, on the monthlies, we look how long we've been holding 168, right? Holding. And then you gap through it, caught. I mean, the plan was, okay, I'm selling at 160. If it breaks the bottom, boom, earnings, it breaks out. They don't sit around and ask questions. They're not like, all you hopeful Disney bulls out there. Oh, it's going to fill the gap. The company just gave you bad news, okay? And you're going to buy the stock because you think it's going to fill a gap? Meanwhile, some of these institutions, they could have gotten in at 115, 120, right? Before you had that big bump up from the Disney Plus. Then you had another month. So, yeah. All right. Well, we wanted to sell when it broke 168. Oh, it's at 164. Get me out of this puppy. I know it's going to take a couple days. And that's why I put, that 150 level in there. It has a date with 150. Is 150 going to hold? I don't know. When we when it broke trend, when it had that when it had that bad news, 3 monthly lows at 52. I wish I would have put the date on there. This is the moment of truth for Penn Gaming. Today it's trading below it, 51.72.
I think we already
82.
Had the moment of truth. And
yeah,
that was when Portnoy got all those allegations against him, and obviously they might be true, they might not be true, but the stock is like hitting first and asking questions later. It's been a relentless seller. And
it was in a downtrend before that, though, Dennis.
And this is the market we're in. This is what I was just explaining. Stocks that are in downtrends come out with bad news. They get hammered and they continue to get hammered. Call it the slow bleed. The slow bleed. You don't want to get caught in the slow bleed. So once your stock breaks trend and goes down on bad news, get the hell out early. Because you know what? You think you're say, okay, I'm going to buy the gap down in Penn on day one at 62. It's 52. And it's 10 days later. So it's just, you've got to get out when they start breaking trend. It's why I sold my Alibaba. It's the only reason I sold my Alibaba, because we're in this market where valuation they don't care about. They care about story. The Alibaba story is so ice cold. Now it's JD. I mean, they talk about Baba was the Chinese stock to own. It's JD they talk about now. So, I mean, even it doesn't even have the story in its own, country. And then obviously, China implodes their stocks all the time. So there's just no reason to own it. So now I'm down to almost zero Chinese stocks, and for good. And it's a good thing because they continue to underperform. But, great questions from the chat. How do you know when a stock breaks trend? What time frame are you looking at? I mean, if you're a day trader, you can look at your intraday charts. I do look at intraday charts on a day trading basis. But for you swing traders out there, the only chart that matters for you swing traders out there, in my opinion, is the 90-day. Look at the 90-day. Because if you go out 2-3 years, you're looking out too far. What has it been doing for the last 90 days? It's the one chart. If you could see my screen right now, and if they think, oh, you're a day trader, you got charts everywhere. I have three screens, and in the corner, literally 20% of my one screen, I have one chart. So what do I have on all my screens? I got Benzinga Pro. You know, I have my scanners going. I've got, you know, my trading software. I've got, you know, like imbalances and information over here. I even have Twitter up in the little corner, you know, with notifications for those accounts I follow. And then, you know, what I have over is one little 90-day chart. And what does that do when I don't know the stock? I bring it up. What's it doing? Oh, it's in a downtrend. I'm already biased to sell it. When I see the 90-day chart, it immediately biases me in this market, in this trendy market. As soon as I see an uptrend on the 90-day, I'm immediately biased to buy it. See a downtrend, immediately biased to sell it. So if I don't know the stock, maybe I know the stock, but I haven't looked at the chart for a while. Is it trending up, trending down, or no trend? That's the first question. Look at the 90-day.
Okay, I would go, I mean.
Don't even make it complicated. What aggregation? 90-day chart. Just look at the 90-day. I don't have any fancy moving averages, nothing. You can clearly see, you know, when your stock breaks trend. You can clearly see. There's no, Carter Worth says the lines don't draw, or the lines just draw themselves, which they kind of do. I mean, you can connect the top and the bottom, but you can clearly see when a stock is like this or a stock is like this. In 1 second, looking at the chart, you can clearly see that. That's all you need to
identify. This is, and Dennis said for the 90-day, and I know that's what you like to look at, but for me, when we're, you know, we see these extended moves, and this is why I have the setup that I do have here for the show. I mean, to me, it's the monthlies that matter. You know, for the, I know, you know, and I'm looking at, you know, long term, I'm looking, you know.
Well, which chart? You've got four up there. Explain the four charts. So you're looking at the top left is the intraday. That is
okay. There's two reasons here. The top left is the 15 minute. And the reason I do that is because, you know, the latest action, you know, what are people, you know, if news breaks in the morning, then I want to see the price action. And then below that, I have the 60-minute. The reason I have the 60-minute with the after hours and pre-market is because I want to see the follow-through from the 4 to 8 p.m. trading, right? And then how the stock reacts at 4 a.m., right? So that's why I have the two different time frames there. I almost never go shorter than a 15-minute. I do go a shorter time frame on the open, but I'm not.
Look at those tick charts. It's high frequency trading world. It's all noise. God. People want
I get
tick
nervous
charts.
When I look
take
at those.
Take your tick charts and throw them in the garbage.
They should take that off every platform.
Yep. They're useless.
1 minute tick charts, get rid of them.
If you're using tick charts, you make money with them. But if you're just starting out and you got all tick charts up there, you'll just have so much confusion from that. It's so much noise. Don't look at the tick charts.
Get
rid of them. Throw them in the garbage. Right, burn them. Never look at them again.
Opinion. Daily, because you know we like daily highs and lows. One of the few things we pay attention to. Double tops, double bottoms, triple tops, triple bottoms, multiple closes in the same area. That helps you identify what your institutions are doing, right? Because the daily, do it on a daily basis. You know, sell me a 500,000 Disney today. Try to get better in 160, you know? Well, okay. Well, try and sell me a 500,000 Disney today, but try and get better in 158, you know? So you see that. And then I go to the monthlies. And then the monthlies is the bottom right channel. And from my month, I got to put dates on everything. You see where you got the Disney Plus subscriber growth, premium already baked in. I just didn't put that in there. I put that in there a couple of weeks ago when I wrote an article on it. Look at the premium. When stocks go quickly up through an area, a lot of times they go quickly down through an area. So that's why I looked at the break. And I remember 150. This is going back. I mean, it couldn't get through 150. It couldn't get through 150.
You're right.
It couldn't get through 150. Mm-hmm. And then it went through 150. And, I'm going to get it back at 150, 155, 160. Gets over. And then you look at a psychological number like 200. Look how much time Disney spent over 200.
Yeah.
Maybe subscribing to the Kenny Glick theory. I mean, it took a little bit longer, but that's it. Tangent Friday here, Spencer.
Okay, Franz is saying, so I want to just be clear here. I'm looking at the trend on the 90 day. Somebody's saying, Dennis is saying Macy's broke trend. No, if you're looking at a tick chart, maybe it broke trend. It absolutely has not broken any type of a trend.
What?
This thing is straight up. So we want to be clear. I'm looking at the overall trend. I look at the 90-day chart for the overall trend. Not a tick chart, not an intraday chart, the 90-day for the overall trend. Joel likes to look a little bit further, but you look at that 90-day too.
Yeah.
You know, for the recent actions. So Macy's clear uptrend, clear. It's not more defined than that when you bring it up. Look at the top right chart. That's what I'm looking at. When I say the 90-day, it's in the top right corner of your screen right now. That is the one that I'm using the most for everything. So if you bring up Peloton right now. What do you see on that 90-day chart in the top right corner? We're doing chart education here. Clear downtrend. Stock is out of favor. What does that mean? It means there's bag holders all over the place here. People saying, please give my money back. Please go to 50. I just get my money back and I'll never buy a stock again. Those are the people that get punished more and more and more. The slow bleed. So Peloton is going to rally today because we're worried about COVID here again. I believe the rallies and all those stocks are to be sold, though, because it's worked again and again and again. Stocks in downtrends, you're selling rips. Stocks in uptrends, 90-day chart. Stocks in uptrends, buy and dips. That's how I approach the markets from my swing trading perspective, and it works.
And just to put a bow on that, it's really whatever will help you figure out what the chart says in 2 seconds or less, right? Whatever,
yes.
Whatever that is.
If it takes you longer to identify the trend and it takes you longer than 2 seconds, move to another stock. That means
what's the accordion? What's the one we got accordion charts on where they did? I'm trying to think of one.
Well, I mean, American Airlines is an accordion chart right now. Bring it up. AAL. We are just in this, going nowhere market, support, resistance, very well defined, but there's not really a trend here. So you bring up AAL. That's why we were looking at it yesterday. We're like, well, are you coming into support? Because there's no trend. So if there's no trend, which you can clearly see in the top right corner, you're buying at support, selling at resistance. Now, you're going to see these stocks getting hit today because we got the COVID worries happening here. And obviously, pure reopening trade, nothing worse than the airlines. So can you buy them at support? You can try anything. They break support, though. If American Airlines, for instance, takes out the low of the move, which is $18.28, Katie bar the door, there's nothing below it till 15, really. So, I mean, you don't want to see that thing below 1828. That's how I would approach that. But there's easier stuff. Why try to call the bottom when you don't have to? You can just buy dips on strong stocks and they seem to go higher.
Palantir is another chart. It's going to 27. It's going 30. It's going to 45 again. Nope, 27 holds again. Now it breached the 22. Dennis, you talked about it under 20. I was thinking maybe that 22 area was going to hold, but no can do there. But do you want it? We got our guest coming. Sean's got Udall's coming on the early show today because he wants to go golfing. So we'll give him a hard time about that. But he's noticed some stocks, like some of these mid caps, it just are getting walloped. So he could give us the perspective, the other perspective on the stocks that are getting walloped. But do you want to do some earnings?
Can I talk about my options trade?
Yeah, what the hell? I want to get to the taking losses for a second here. The importance of that and what you did.
Okay, well, Alibaba I sold, and I took my 3-point loss from 5 years. So don't even think about the time value of money sitting there doing nothing for that long. But I sold that because I don't want the bleed out. But okay, I've been worried about my MasterCard for a long time. And I've had a fantastic trading year, and I've made a lot of money this year trading. And I don't want to pay any more tax on long-term gains here. This year, I just don't want to pay any more taxes here. I want to push it on into next year. So I'm nervous about MasterCard. I'm nervous about Visa. I'm nervous about these stocks falling out of favor. So I don't want to sell it. I didn't want to sell it yesterday at 355 because if I go ahead and sell it, I'm paying those taxes. So what I did was I did a conversion. It's conversion arbitrage. So what a conversion is what I created was a synthetic short. So using options, I create a synthetic short. So what I did was I bought the 350 put and I sold the 350 call for January. So what does that do? It guarantees me selling the stock at 350 in January. I got paid $3.10 to do that. So I'm actually in essence sold the stock yesterday at $353.10. So I'm locked in to get $353.10. I'm getting 310 now. I'm going to get 350 in January. So what I did was I locked in the price. So I've locked it in. I can take that and remove that hedge if I feel better about it in January, and then I wouldn't pay the gains. I would just be on whatever the options do. But right now, my option position will mimic my long position. So I have MasterCard long. That option position on will exactly offset it. So what I basically did was lock in my sell price at 350. I could have just bought puts. You say, why? Well, I didn't want to pay all that premium.
Yeah, that premium.
So it's like $18. So I'm like, I didn't want to pay that much. So I'm like, so I kind of want to sell the stock. I don't think, I think that there's something happening. MasterCard is not a cheap stock, and I do believe it's getting disrupted. Josh Brown was saying the same thing. We love Josh Brown. He was saying the same thing on CNBC 3 days ago that he sold his MasterCard because he's worried. I'm like, you were speaking my book, and I'm too worried about it too. So what I did was I put on the conversion. I created the synthetic short position using options to sell my stock in January and lock in my price in January. So I'm basically now flat MasterCard, although just for fun, I bought a little bit of extra. I'm actually.
That's my boy.
Couldn't help it.
I did.
I looked at it and I was like, I'm actually nervous about the position so much that I'm actually bearish the stock now. So I own the stock, create the synthetic short to get the hell out of the stock, and then I bought some extra puts.
I just talked about it.
I never buy puts either, but I was like, I really am nervous about the stock.
Right, so. And did the calls that you sold finance the puts, right?
Well, yeah, it's 350. So yeah. You just think about it logically. So why is that synthetic? Why am I guaranteed to sell 350? Well, I own the put. So if it's below 350, I'm going to exercise it. And I sold the 350 call. So if it's above 350, they're going to exercise. So no matter what, unless the stock closes exactly at 350, which I could then choose to exercise anyways, I'm out. So that's the synthetic puts. That's the synthetic option position, synthetic short that I created. It's called a conversion.
And I've been worried about your MasterCard since 200.
So I got an extra $150 about it. So it's good.
$150 premium. Okay. Yeah. Spencer.
Yes.
Take control.
Okay, real fast. We glossed over it very briefly, but I just want to comment on Moderna that it got to, 227? No, not quite 270, but almost. And it is your big gainer of the morning here, one of them, off that FDA headline. So I just want to put that on everyone's radar. We have a few earnings to discuss. Let's go to the earnings right now quickly. Let's go to let's start with Foot Locker, which is one of your big losers of the morning, down 6%, I believe. Earnings out this morning, the earnings per share was fine for last quarter. The sales was fine for last quarter. They sort of talked a little bit conservatively about the holiday shopping season and the supply chain concerns as they will persist through the rest of this year, which I think is sort of what we're seeing a reaction to this morning. They were more conservative in their statements about the holiday season than we heard from yesterday. So,
It's bad luck for them to a certain extent. They would have reported yesterday. It may have been a different result, but because they're reporting on the wrong day, because they're not liking retail stocks this morning, because we all of a sudden have this, COVID concerns here overnight. Then they hit the stock on that too. Plus the bar raised. I mean, so you saw Macy's just rip roaring rally, Kohl's rip roaring rally, Dillard's After Hours announces a $15 special dividend. Lots going right in retail land. Bar raised. So all that adds up to this getting hit here this morning. So I think let the dust settle on this one though, because you could say okay, the stock's in an uptrend at least in the last week, but in the last month or two, it's kind of no trend. So I'm just hands off. There's just not this isn't a layup at all.
For this one, it's had a nice rally. You're down $3. People still sitting on a lot of profits. What I'd like to do here is I'd like to point out the pre-market low. That pre-market low comes in at under $54. 52. Ooh, wow, way down there. 53.17. So it's already breached this 54. So I don't know. I don't know if you'll see that 53.17. A pair of daily lows below that. I like 52.50 longer term. Maybe not today. But there's if you see a level, there's two daily lows there. 52.5, 52.50. That's what I'd be looking at in the next 2 to 3 days, unless it turns it around.
Yeah. Again, it was a little bit of a different tone than what we heard from yesterday. They were a little bit less less excited, less enthusiastic about the holiday shopping season. I wonder how Under Armour is reacting to this, if at all. UAA. I see it. I see it trading down this morning. Let's go to some tech earnings. Interestingly enough, we had Applied Materials. Right. Speaking of a high bar, AMAT. The bar is high for that sector. Their numbers were not good. Their EPS came in below estimates. Their sales came in below estimates. Their guidance for EPS and sales also both came in below estimates. So they pretty much came in below estimates across the board this morning. But then again, it's tech. It's in favor. you know?
It's a better dip to buy, like better than the ones that are trending down. It's trending up. So textbook would say, yeah, I probably do buy this dip because that's why I just argue in stocks and uptrends. You get the dip and the disappointment. But then again, when they've been disappointing on earnings, they've been, you know, punishing them severely for a while. The question is, have you broke trend? I don't think so. As long as you're above 145, you could try it. Below 145, it would get concerning. So maybe it's a dip that gets bought. I like it better than most of these dips.
Yeah, this is too big of a run-up for me, you know, randomly go, oh, 149. I'll just look for a place to sell it. And if this got anywhere near the bottom of yesterday's range, 154.74, 155, I'd keep a close eye on that. Moving forward. If you're trying to scalp or something, buying the dip here, I'm sure some people would love to see that that area, 154.75. Pre-market low, maybe might already be the low for the day since we bounced 144.73.
Last one before we bring on Sean here. Let's do Intuit real fast because holy cow, Intuit is your big gainer of the morning.
This is stocks they love.
Earnings per share, they just crushed it. They reported earning $1.53 last quarter versus a 99-cent estimate. Sales of $2.01 versus $1.81 billion. They raised their guidance for the quarter, for the year. It's just a blowout report. Holy cow.
Strong get stronger. The weak get weaker. This Intuit, I feel like, goes up just continuously. You can go out to your dailies. It's an uptrend. And a weeklies, it's an uptrend. And a monthlies, it's just a vicious uptrend. The stock is just always in an uptrend. That's what stocks you want to own. I mean, it's the stocks you want to own. I don't chase them when they're up 81 points. It's the time I would ring the register when they're gapping up that much. But I tell you, man, on dips, these are the stocks that just continue to get bought. These are the stocks you want in your long-term portfolio. It's not the stocks that are dogs and they're going to come back. Oh, I'm going to buy cheap and it's going to eventually be back in favor. I do that the wrong way all the time myself. It's human tendency, natural human tendency, to want to buy on the cheap. But you know what? And this market rewards those who actually are buying on the cheap, but buying the stocks that are strong. So buying the dip on stocks and uptrends, there's no dip here to be bought, so I'm not buying it. But I'm not selling the rip either because the stock's in a clear uptrend. So selling the rip is just, you know, shorting a stock that is, you know, making new all-time highs is always, you know, a recipe for disaster.
80 bucks. So pre-market high, 717.76. I mean, if that is your target or 1720 or 720, take it with these kind of moves. You want to see follow through the pre-market high. If you don't, there's some room on the downside. But this is, I mean, what if you wake up and you got like the six, you know, you took a flyer like on the 675 calls or something like that. You paid up for it. I'd be like, so get me out. But
and remember, if you did that, you don't have to wait for the stock to open. You can always short the stock against those calls and lock in your profits right away. It's why when people look at short interest, you know, do they consider all the option positions out there? Because it's always like, who's short this stock? Well, maybe those short people are actually hedged.
You don't know.
I mean, you know, you can say, oh, yeah, everybody's getting killed. All the AMC is 20%. They just don't cover. Well, maybe they are covered with options and you just don't even realize it.
Yeah. Hey, let's bring on our guest here, Sean Udall, the CIO of Quantum Trading Strategies. He's the tech stock strategist. Let's bring him on the show this morning. Sean, good morning.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Morning. Can you hear me?
Yes. And we see you.
Well, good morning, Benzinga.
What's going on, Sean? There he is.
Well, I was actually listening to you guys about half an hour ago.
He's a contrarian too, so he's got to go against everything we just said. Well, Sean is one of the biggest contrarians on the street.
Not necessarily go against everything you say, but I would not let. I'm trying. Okay, who is like the most atrocious leader on the planet right now? There's probably an African leader, you know, committing genocide, or a Libyan leader, or Putin, or the Chinese leader. Anyway. But Sean,
where are you going?
Hold on. Where are you going with this? Right now.
Don't take my punchline. So if I manage their account, you know what I would do? I would buy into it today for them, and then watch that account value get destroyed in 30 or 60 or 90 days. I would buy them net, NET at highs. I would buy them Apple, and then I would feel good when their account does a 99 style drop in whether it's 30 days or 60 days or 6 months
like
or something.
We said,
anyway, I was trying to make a joke, and Joel interrupted me.
I'm sorry.
You will sell the strength and buy the weakness all day, every day. And you know what? Your time frame, maybe it works for you. It never has worked well for me, but we know your contrarian strategies have worked for you because you're still trading and you've been trading a lot of years.
Well, I mean, I'm in a firm. I'm in a firm from 52.
Okay, so you have some
Dog, some 75. I still have a piece of ESTC from as low as 42. So I would actually say I usually buy some of the best names. I just don't buy them at highs when other people buy them 2 years after I do.
Buying good companies on dips.
Yeah. So I mean, I will hold momentum. I will trade momentum. I will say right now, so I actually agree. So Dennis, you were in particular saying something. You said something. I'm trying to remember I call it the incremental trade is what moves stocks. You were saying something like it's the active manager that moves stocks. I think you'd agree it's the same thing, right? Yeah,
sure.
So what's moving stocks right now, since everything is algo related, we don't have an uptick rule. We won't debate that because I know you're wrong about that and I'm right. But it's never coming back. Or I don't. It will come back when we have a market crash when there's no other thing to save it.
And they all panic.
So the bottom line, though, is that it's the incremental trade that moves stocks. What is the incremental trade right now? I'm asking all you guys. I know it. What is the incremental trade right now with most stocks?
Are you talking sector? Are you talking style?
Almost every stock except NET, but it's also part of why NET is going up. It's part of probably why Intuit's gapping.
I mean, it's just
what is the incremental trade?
Money into tech.
It's tax loss selling. So the incremental
starts already.
Oh yeah, it's you had a ton of tax loss selling in August and September. One of my subscribers just cracked me up yesterday, and so he got this from everything I'm typing, but he did a beautiful. Basically, he did a three word statement, which I would have said in a paragraph. He said, "You have maximum retail ownership of stocks again. Well, probably the highest since the '90s. You have." Probably maximum leverage in retail accounts, I'm guessing. I don't know if we can prove that. Although I have seen stats from like people that do stats work that leverage is high. You know, margin balances are high. And then you have record tax loss selling. So what does that set up? It sets up a chase of whatever's the hot name of the day. And Spencer was right. It's not just the same six names. Yeah. I would say there's six hot names. But then there's 50 or 100 names that have been very strong, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So there's a persistence of trend, but then there's the hyper stocks. There's the hyper stocks, and they kind of change from week to week. Tesla was one, and Tesla sells off every now and then. Anyway, the bottom line is you literally have like three records all culminating into one thing, and the thing is the perfect storm. The perfect storm. So stocks at lows are going lower. Stocks at highs are going higher. How long is that going to last? So I'll wrap it all up by saying, did the guys in 99 that kept buying the hottest stocks, are they the guys who became the multimillionaires and still have their money today? Or was the guys who made a lot of money even from 99 to 02, 05 today, were they the guys who actually just better in the markets and they're more nimble, and maybe they were buying Berkshire Hathaway, and maybe they were buying banks, and I'm talking 99, and maybe they were, you know, oil hit 1250 in 1998. oil stocks were probably the best group from 99 to like 2004. Yeah. They might have bought some defense contractors. Anyway, all I'm going to say is the guys who got rich in 99 were not the guys chasing momentum in 99.
100%. I mean, whoever the article was, who put it out there in like 1999 is Warren Buffett lost it. You know,
that's
like,
right.
Remember that? Warren like, Buffett's lost it. It was like Barron's or I don't know who it was. I shouldn't say Barron's. It's Barron's does it a lot. So I was just guessing them. But it was somebody put out the big headline, front page. Warren Buffett's been underperforming this market for so long. His strategy's not work anymore. And since that, and after that, tech stocks destroyed. And you literally saw Buffett value investing approach for the next decade.
That's right. Now, Don, by the way, does that mean we are in a tech 99 moment right now?
In
I don't think
stocks,
we are.
Maybe.
Yes.
What do you think?
There's a pocket of tech. And it's almost, it kind of changes a little bit. But there's a pocket of tech that's extremely bubbly. But I can pull, I mean, look at Twitter. Okay. Well, has Twitter suddenly become a small tax loss selling victim, a small cap? I mean, this is like one of the weirdest, most extreme sell-offs I've seen in Twitter in a long time. And the last report was good. Twitter has a ton of tailwinds. And oh, by the way, we got an election coming up next year. So, I mean, this is like a beautiful setup for Twitter if you can hold it into next year.
We are so opposite, me and Sean.
If you can hold it into next year. Well, by the way, Twitter, that, you know, nothing says it's going to go down another 10 or 20%. It could. I mean, Dennis, I don't know if you, Gene Munster and I did a deal that Joel was nice enough to set up. Yeah. And Gene Munster and I both kind of said the same thing. This market reminds me almost more of 2018 than 99 in a lot of ways. And so we both kind of said, hey, you probably better raise cash. Gene said the words buckle up. You probably should buckle up into year end. Even Tom Lee, I really like Tom Lee. I think he does great work, but we could probably say he's pretty close to a perma bull. So he has a fallacy, he stays bullish too long. Even Tom Lee has kind of pulled in his reins lately. So, but the bottom line, you add it all up. I think in some, we have pockets of 99. It almost feels more like 2018, though, because I was being vilified by some people when I wrote for Briefing. I was being vilified for putting some tech shorts. And back in the day, they all worked, by the way. That was like Ring Central, MongoDB. By the way, the stocks are all probably doubles now. But they had a vicious, vicious correction in December of 2018. And you know what did really well? A lot of stuff that everybody thought was going down every day, quit going down every day, and then had this beautiful 3 month, 6 month rotational move higher. So anyway, you can look at this market in a lot of ways right now. I think the incremental trade, I think the main thing driving stuff, I think is tax loss selling.
Okay. Just getting out of the weak stuff. Sean, a couple of weeks ago, I had you at Pre-Market Prep Plus and DKNG got hit. And I wrote it up and said, and your comment was, you dollar buyer at 41 and will buy more if it keeps going lower.
Yeah.
Are you sticking with that?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not in a big hurry, but you know, every buck or two lower, nibble here, nibble
there.
Why?
What's the thesis on this?
Well, my thesis is the same thesis I had when the stock was probably 20 or lower and before it went to 75. So I don't think the thesis has changed. The only difference is, sometimes you get better times to buy a stock and sometimes you get better times to sell a stock. DraftKings, pretty much, I think anything under 45 is an okay buy. Does it get crazy? I mean, crazy would probably be another 5 to 7 points lower. I don't know if it gets crazy. It could. I mean, the one thing about the January effect, December tax loss selling, end of year, whatever, so it doesn't occur at the same time. Dennis and I are probably old stewards of the January effect.
For sure.
So it used to occur in January and February. Then it got arbitraged, and then it started occurring in December, and then it got arbitraged even some years it started occurring as early as October. And in recent years, it's kind of more of a random thing. But you know what? It always occurs. So I would basically say, you know, it's probably going to be in the top 10 of my January effect list. And it's okay. Not a stock you would normally think would go because it's kind of a larger cap, but it's small enough cap. I think it can go in that. But yeah, no, I don't think the thesis changed. In fact, I would say the setup for DraftKings is a lot like oh, probably a work day, or you know, give me in a service now. Give me a leading software company that people didn't, they liked it, but they didn't know how big it was going to be 5 and 10 years later. So basically, if you ask me, DraftKings and FanDuel have already won the war. There's lots of competition. The competition doesn't seem to be making much headway. There's some growth occurring in some other companies out there. But I think basically it's a two-horse race, winner-take-all. Tech and popular is winner-take-all theme. I think DraftKings and FanDuel are winner-take-all. And I actually think DraftKings wins. So if you want the thesis, that's a thesis. That's a multi-year thesis. But yeah, I mean, you give me the stock every 2-3 points lower, because I've got stuff I can sell and swap, but I've also been raising cash for 2 or 3 weeks straight. So
what's your average time frame? Like, what, how long is your average? Because I know you're a lot longer term than
two buckets. I have two buckets. I've stuff I want to hold longer than a year to get at tax advantage treatment on it.
Yeah.
That's probably about half of everything I do. And then half of everything else is another two buckets. So I have what I call ultra short term trades. You'll laugh at this. So my ultra short term trade would be days, like 2 to 3 days, but maybe a week or two.
Yeah.
So
your that's your short as you get.
Yeah, your ultra short.
That's my long term trade.
Yeah, your short term trade might be 15 seconds or something like that.
Yeah.
So it's less. If it works, it works. So my ultra short term is days. Sometimes it's hours. That's rare. But really, my sweet spot, I would say, is like a 2 to 6 week trade. That's my sweet spot for trading. So. I think it works really well. Remember, I like to do a lot of call selling and put sell. So I like to do a lot of option selling. So though, you know, if you're an option seller, those take time to play out, because it's a price decay, time decay situation. So I kind of blend common with price decay on options and things like that. On options, like, I never buy weekly options. So this is another way to measure my time. So I know lots of people who do. I think it's foolhardy. Just if you just look, and these stats have been the same since options were invented, something like 98% of all option premium expires worthless. Mine might be higher today. I think it was 92% at the all-time low. So that means only 8% of people are getting paid on any call or put premium they buy. I think it's probably 2 or 3% today.
Any stocks you're picking on? Any shorts? Any potential shorts out there?
I don't know if I really like shorts, because there's 90% of stocks that act like they're kind of in a crash type market. And there's, 10% or fewer stocks that are in a kind of a major bull or bubble market. So in a market like this, again, this is a huge, in 2018, there weren't tons of stocks like at ridiculously low prices while other stuff was high. It was, I thought the short setup was more advantageous then. I mean, hey, I really liked Upstart short a lot higher, anywhere above 330. I did short it a couple times. I didn't get the big score on it. I think NET is a good short, but I don't know if I'd short it until like the 728. Like I don't know how much more they run the stock. I'm still short Tesla. I don't mind being short a little bit of Tesla. I think you're better off either being in cash if you're worried about downside.
Okay.
I think you're better off being in cash and then deploying cash and crash victims.
Okay. So just to be absolutely clear, you are bearish, but that doesn't mean you like any short setups right now.
Well, I don't even know if I'm bear. I'm probably bearish on everything everybody else likes, or most things. Again, I own Datadog, I own a firm. I'm pairing out of ESC. So I have some favorite stocks that are momentum names. But yeah, I would say I don't know how the Nasdaq goes up a whole lot more from here. That would be something I would say.
Like, last thing I'll say is, yeah, you said, record retail ownership of stocks, as if that is indicative of anything. Over $1 trillion of money has flowed into U.S. equity mutual funds and ETFs this year, U.S. stock funds, $1 trillion. How much of that is retail? Probably what, like 5%?
Honestly, I don't know. I don't know.
10% on a good day? I mean,
well, I would say mutual fund. I mean, Dennis and Joel might know this as well. I would say mutual funds, that's probably driven by a lot of 401k. ETF. I don't know if it is as low as 5% because the institutions, you know, they're buying and selling stocks. They're creating the baskets, right? So I don't know. I don't think it's 50% though. I mean, but I would say there's definitely, if it's that's a really good stat, by the way, $1 trillion. So think about this. $1 trillion wasn't invested 5 years ago when stocks were a lot cheaper. $1 trillion has been chasing stocks at pretty high prices, right? In other words, the money has come in. It didn't come in at the COVID lows. Some did, but it came in after a lot of stuff probably doubled or tripled off the COVID lows. I think that's a fair statement.
Paul the chat says it's companies buying their own stock. Maybe he's right. Sean Udall.
There's a lot of stock buying.
Yeah, that's true. Sean Udall, tech stock strategist. Sean, always a pleasure.
You still going golfing today, Sean?
I am. I'm going golfing.
Right. I want. What's your handicap? Like a 10?
I don't know. I haven't played enough in recent years. You know, the best it ever was kind of down around the 7 area. I would probably be a good 14 today. Like if I was in a 4-man team and I was a 14, they'd probably love me on the team. If I was a 7, I'd be a bad 7. But I haven't played a lot of rounds.
You would crush me, Pop. I mean, match play, I might be able to hold my own. I'm very erratic, but we're going to have to get the sticks out. And
we are.
Get the driver, because I don't think you can come within 15.
There is no way you can outdrive me. Oh, there's no way.
Everybody, put your pants back.
Five iron? Right. You hit a 5 iron. I'll be hitting a 7 iron with a half swing.
Okay.
All right, we'll see.
All right. Sean, happy Thanksgiving, man. We'll talk to you.
Talk to you soon. Hey, thanks, Sean. You're the best. Thank you.
That evolved quickly. Okay. We'll do a couple minutes of ticker time here. I don't know. Drop your
now,
ticker.
Raz, I wouldn't play in golf. Okay.
Raz is good at everything. Yeah. Raz is good at everything.
Drop your tickers in the chat and we'll take a look. Stroke a hole from Raz. Next few minutes.
And par threes.
That we've got. Michael wants the IWM. Sure. Let's look at the IWM.
That's good. Well, it's a good indicator for what, you know, and obviously there's a lot of small caps. It's a small cap index, but it gives you a good broader feel for the market because you can really get, we've talked about this before with SPY, you know, being the main 5-6 companies, that's 25% of it. And the Qs are heavily weighted, those major 5-6 companies, tech stocks. IWM, equally weighted, it's a pile of stocks. They're small caps, but it gives you a little feel for kind of, you know, what's happening overall, really. So what is happening overall is we pulled back here a little bit in the last, you know, couple of weeks. I would say 230. IWM broke out from 230. We often love the retest, buying the retest. So I think you get IWM down another $2.50 from here. Maybe you take a shot if you're just trading IWM. And maybe that's telling you some of your small caps that are maybe getting to a point where they're getting hit. Maybe they bounce, you know, at that point in time. But 230 is a big level on IWM.
I'm going to go higher than that because you had the February. Oh,
right, 232.5 now, so we're not far from there.
Yeah. Actually, the monthlies are not as clean as I thought they were. I thought the two. I guess I just spitballed it, and it was because that high in March of this year was 34.54, but most of the consolidation was like that 232, 233 area. So I'd say next call, I'd go higher. I'd say if you really want to get in early, you lean on this 232 area. This is like if I had a short coming down here the first time, I would take a big move, $3 like this. But man, this is danger. You had a breakout. You had a major breakout from this area. You went over what? You went nearly to 245. If you want to own IWM and you think the top of this long-term channel is going to hold, then you should be strike. I'll go 230, 232 if you want to space it out. But that was a long consolidation. You broke out. Old resistance, new support. Important couple days coming up for IWM.
We'll do Roblox. A few people asked about Roblox in the chat, so let's take a look at that one.
Pulled back yesterday, but... Yeah, the stock was the... You know, now you're chasing it. I mean, it's up 50% in literally, you know, a week. So I'm not chasing it up here. The time to strike was that double bottom we talked about yesterday, 93.93. So, and the candle yesterday, they pulled the rug out from under a little bit there, but it's still holding trend. So I guess as long as it's holding trend, it's a really steep trend. I guess you're okay. Below 120, I'd be concerned.
If you're playing it closer to the belt, you know, like you bought this thing at 80, you just can't believe it's at, you know, 120, 130, and you don't want to give any back. Can't really give you that all-time high, 38.77. Probably have a little hard time getting right back to that area, but I'd keep an eye on that close for today, even if it was a short-term trader, 126.12. All-time closing high, improved on it by a buck and a half yesterday. So keep an eye on that, 126.12, whether you're short-term or long-term trader in RBLA. And I tried to get Bill on today, Santiago. I know he owns this one, but we're going to get him on next week. So okay. I'm looking forward to that.
Okay. Hey, speaking of next week, it's obviously a holiday week. We're not here on Thursday. And then I don't know if you guys want to do a show on Friday. I'm not going to be here. Mitch is not going to be here.
I'm going to be out on Friday too. Exactly.
Okay. Really?
So no show on Friday.
Really?
You can do one by yourself, Joel. Joel, do one.
Sorry, Joel. Mitch, what's Mitch doing?
I don't know. Everyone's going to be on a Friday.
Did anybody clear this with me? All of a sudden, everyone takes a day off.
Sorry. I don't know.
Yeah, we all take a day off.
Oh, man.
Day.
I'm a little. I got to go. Sorry. We're going to have a little meeting later on, guys.
All right,
okay. I'll catch you later on.
All right, have a good rest of your day, Joel. See you later, Dennis. We got to wrap this show up here. We got to go to live trading with Benzinga. So I'm going to wrap up this stream. It'll end. It'll redirect to that. Real fast, Martin, UWMC, there was news this morning. We have it in pro. There was going to be an offering, and now there is not. I guess they couldn't get the price that they wanted. So that was the news. It's also trending on Reddit and Twitter this morning, which always helps. So UWMC is one of your big movers in the morning. All right. That being said, thank you for the reminder, Mitch. I almost forgot. Tomorrow is the final Benzinga boot camp of the year. I'll put the link up in the chat right now. Hold on. Let me find it. There it is. Okay. I'm putting the link in chat. Boom. There it is. Bring it up on the screen. And Benzinga, basically just go to benzinga.com/events/boot-camp and all day education, 9 to 5. Names that you know, names that have been on our show, Anne Marie Band, Jake Ujastic, Ripster from Atlas, the head of index options at NASDAQ will be there, John Black, the head of equity products at the CME Group, Tim McCourt will be there, Samantha LeDuc, Chris Capri, Mark Petrino, Neil Hamilton from Benzinga. 9 to 5 all day tomorrow, Benzinga Bootcamp. Check it out. I don't understand that question, Martin. Sorry. About needing you don't need to be a Benzinga Pro subscriber to go to the bootcamp. It's available to the public to purchase, but KC, that was ticker time. We just did ticker time for 5 minutes. I got to wrap up, though. We're going to do live trading. Basically, the whole show of live trading is ticker time. We hang out. We watch the market through the open. We take trades. We talk about what you're talking about, and it's fun. So I'm going to wrap up here. Where are we at in the leg front? We're at 217, 292. Can we get to, like, 400? Let's get to 400 likes in the next 30 seconds. Please remember all the information from our show meant to be used as informational purposes, not for investing.
Did you know nearly all stock price changes of 10% or more result from a single news headline? That's right. News headlines have a unique ability to drive stock prices up or down. These news catalysts create trading opportunities every day. All you need is a little help to reach out and take them. And if you're looking to grow your portfolio, it doesn't matter if your investment budget is small or big. An easy-to-read stream of news headlines will increase your opportunities to profit from price changes in the stock market, consolidate a knowledge-based investment strategy, and grow your portfolio. All you need is Benzinga Pro and its powerful news alerts, price tracking, and portfolio monitoring to make a positive change in your trading performance. We've already helped thousands of retail traders across the world, and they could not be happier. Increase your market knowledge, boost your exposure to big movers, and make informed trades before major price changes. The opportunities are all around you. Subscribe now, and we'll skyrocket your portfolio today.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.